Force our series of sermons toward the teenagers of our congregation. We have been talking about building a spiritual foundation for life. We've tried to have some lessons by which we can help some of our teenagers meet the daily challenges that they face. We've talked about the Bible and self-esteem. We've talked about what you must know in order to become a Christian. We've talked about the need to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God. In other words, where we develop a sense of godly values. And this morning, we're going to talk about role models. I don't know how many of you have had an opportunity to listen to the news over the last 2 to 3 days, but I'm sure that you have heard the news about Pat Tillman, who was one of the safeties or defensive backs or one football player for the Arizona Cardinals. And he turned down a lucrative contract in the NFL to enlist in the Army, became a Ranger, and was killed in Afghanistan on Thursday, fighting for our country. The press has spent a great deal of time talking about Pat Tillman's life, and I found it interesting as you listen to the comments that are made. It's almost, and it's done in a tasteful way, but I guess the remarkable thing about Pat Tillman was the fact that he gave up so much money in order to go and fight for our country, and that is probably not a very common thing in our country, or at least the press has made it out to be, that this man made a great sacrifice for our country. And indeed, he did, just as all of the other 600 or 800 people who have lost their lives over the last 3 years have done in sacrificing their lives for our country. But I think of men such as Pat Tillman, and I never knew him or didn't know much about him till this week, and I remember a few years ago when he decided to quit the NFL and enlist. I remember that story and how people thought that was interesting enough, but to know that he gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country is just an amazing thing. And you think of that and you think of the character of that man and what you see, there was something about him that he knew what was going on in this country is important. And I think in some small way, that is a person who could serve as a role model for us, a person who had believed in something enough and the freedom of this country to do that which is right. I want you to think of that. Then I want you to think of, and certainly Pat Tillman being a positive role model, but I want you to think for a few moments of maybe some not-so-positive role models that we have seen in this country over the last few years ago. Do you remember a Super Bowl about 5 or 6 years ago, 1999, with a man by the name of Eugene Robinson, who the night before the Super Bowl was arrested for soliciting an undercover officer for sexual favors? Anything new about notable sports figures in our country getting themselves off track in this regard? Ever heard of Kobe Bryant? What about other people in our society who have done notable things in our society, but yet have been found out later that they have not been living in a way that'd be morally acceptable? We think of people such as Britney Spears, a notable pop star, who in the past has called herself a role model for youth, but I found a quote of her saying this week, "I don't listen to that many people. I'm a very stubborn person. When someone tells me not to do something, I do it. And that's just my rebellious nature." Wow, as you might say. And according to this Fox News report, she later said that parents should not be worried if her children should want to copy her. Later in last year, late in 2003, Spears told a media outlet that she no longer wants to be called a role model. I find that interesting, though, and you look at all these comparisons of people out there who you look to in society. You might look at notable sports figures, or you might look at people who have made it big in the entertainment world and say, yep, that's somebody that I want to be. Let me suggest to you that oftentimes those are not the people that you want to be. I want us to compare those kinds of things to the numbers of upright people who live their lives in a way that's pleasing to God. They're out there every day doing what is right. They never draw attention to themselves. They're just there living their lives day for day for Almighty God and to serve and glorify Him. Those are the people of whose lives we need to be following. Those are the people who set good examples for us. I look at people, unnamed people, who significantly impact the lives of those around them. I want each one of us right now, I want you guys over here, I want you guys to think of someone who has significantly impacted your life in the last few years, over the course of your life. Maybe it's your parents. No, not them, surely not. Not my parents. No, but really, think about your parents. Have they not impacted your role, your life, in a way that is unbelievable when you sit back and think about it? What about a grandparent? What about a teacher at school? What about another notable person who you look up to and you respect? Maybe it's a Bible class teacher. I remember a few months ago, some of our teenagers sitting right here. If you went down the hallway past the offices, do you remember seeing some of the signs and some of the notes that they posted up on the wall of people who had tremendously impacted their lives? Some of you are sitting right here in this room right now. You, each one of us, plays a role in affecting the life of someone else. Each one of us needs to understand that we are all impacting the lives of one another, either for good or for bad. And let us all realize, young people, realize someone is watching you. You may think, well, I'm just a teenager. I'm just a young person. How could I possibly have an effect on someone else? Well, you do. You do. And you need to be honestly considering that, because someone is watching, someone is imitating your life, and each one of us has the responsibility to set a positive example. We all can be positive role models for Jesus Christ. We all have the responsibility to live in private what we say we are in public. I want each one of us to consider right now, as far as our example, our influence, and the way that we live our lives, by the way we're living, are we leading someone else closer to Jesus or farther away from Him? Which is it for me? Remember, it's easy to talk the talk, but are you willing to walk the walk? We're talking about role models this morning, and I want us to turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and look down at verse 1. Because God has given mankind a role model. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes and says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." When you read verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you find very quickly that Paul did his very best to imitate Jesus in every way. When we think of our own personal lives, are we imitating Jesus Christ? Are we? Are we leading people closer to Him or farther away from Him? Ted Edwards has said, "We are the only Bible that many people will read. It is imperative that we practice what we preach to a very skeptical world." How many of us, as we are living our lives right now, would be confident to say to those around us, you follow me because I'm following Jesus. Could you say that as you live your lives? Could you say it as you're living your lives? How many of us are confident that we are doing everything that we can to follow Jesus Christ, to become more like the Savior? If you turn in your Bibles over to where we read our scripture reading this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, we find from this passage of Scripture that we are to follow in the footsteps of the Savior. Jesus is the example. He is our role model in this writing, where Peter says in verse 21, "You've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps." Look at this. Jesus was the perfect example for us. He says in verse 22, Jesus committed no sin, nor was there any deceit found in His mouth. Look at the way He conducted Himself while people were coming after Him. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously, and Him who bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. Are you living for righteousness? Have you put aside the old man and now striving to live for Jesus every day? Is Jesus your role model? Are you serving Him? You know, when you look at this word back in verse 21, where Peter says, He's left you an example for you to follow in His steps. The word follow there is translated like this: a writing copy. This word appears nowhere else in the pages of the New Testament. When Peter uses that word there, meaning a writing copy, he means that Jesus has cast a pattern of living that we are to follow and imitate. During the first century, this word would have created a picture where we might describe a teaching situation where pupils were expected to exactly reproduce what their teachers had set before them. That's our expectations. That's what God expects of us. We are to completely reproduce what Jesus has set before us. We are to follow in His steps. Live life according to the way that He lived life. Then we look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. Just one of the many passages in the Bible that is up there is one of my favorites, because I believe it outlines what a Christian is. Where Jesus says here, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Disciples are like their teacher. We are to be like the Master. We should live lives that are holy. We should live lives that are blameless, undefiled. And we should live lives by which we should stand in great contrast to what the way of the world is. That's our job. That's who we are as children of God. You see, each one of us has a job to become more like the Redeemer. Jesus is our role model. God has laid that down for us very clearly. Someone says, though, well, that's great that Jesus is our role model, but how can I imitate Jesus if I can't see Him? Well, I think there's a very simple answer to that. Look with me, in your Bibles, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Here's the simple answer. I can imitate Jesus even if I can't see Him, because I walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's the basis of Christianity.
We must move with absolute trust in Jesus as we go about our lives.
We can learn more about Jesus as we look to the pages of God's Word. You see, the pages of God's Word are the mind of God revealed to man. And it is in the pages of God's Word where the life of Jesus has been revealed. And so as I go throughout my life, I have got to be moving with commitment. I have got to resolve that I am going to do everything possible to learn as much about Jesus as I possibly can. Where I'm going to be involved in Bible study. Where I'm going to associate myself with Christians of like-minded faith. Where I'm going to do my best to read and study and meditate upon His Word. And I'm going to consult others for wisdom. Everything, when I look at those things, can help me become more like the Savior. I don't have to seem to know what the Scripture says is truth. We accept that by faith. In thinking on this point earlier in the week, I remembered a conversation that was going on between Jesus and Thomas. You remember this? It's in John the 20th chapter, verses 27 through 31. This is after the resurrection. Thomas was questioning Jesus. And Thomas is here in verse 27, and Jesus comes to him and says, "Reach here with your finger. See my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And of course, it is in verse 28 where we have the response of Thomas, where he says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." I want you to observe what Jesus says in response to this in verse 29. And here's the point for us. "Because you have seen me, have you believed?" Listen to what Jesus says next. "Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Then John says in verse 30, "Many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." How strong is my faith? I don't have to have sight. And if I just have sight, then where's faith? How strong is your faith? Someone else might ask, Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. This is 2004. How can the life of a man who lived 2,000 years ago be relevant to me, someone who's living now, facing all kinds of problems in my generation? How can the life of Jesus be relevant for me and make sense to today's generation? Well, here's how I would answer that question. I believe that each one of us, in no matter what generation we live, we must understand that we are God's children in a manner similar to the way that Jesus understood that He was God's Son. We are children of God. It does not matter what day and age one lives in. The objective of the child of God is to make God pleased with who and what He is. Just as God was pleased with Jesus for who and what He was. If you look in your Bibles at John the 8th chapter in verse 29, Jesus talked about the need to be pleasing to God. Jesus talked about the need of doing things that were pleasing to God. He says here, "He who sent me is with me and has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." Jesus was concerned with pleasing His Father. We too must be concerned with pleasing our Father, Almighty God. Jesus shows us how to imitate God, because He perfectly reflected God by the way that He lived His life. We must look to the pages of God's Word and let Jesus teach us how to live lives of love. We must be willing to sacrifice our own wants for God's purposes. You see, this is something that deeply pleases God. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at the first 5 verses. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Because I think it is in Ephesians chapter 5 that we can learn that God has always expected the same thing out of those who serve Him, be it whether they lived in the 1st century, the 5th century, the 15th century, or even as we do in the 21st century. God has always wanted those who serve Him to imitate Him. That's why Paul says what he does in verse 1 of Ephesians 5, where he says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Listen to verse 3. Look at some of the things that the child of God is to put off from his life. Immorality, or impurity, or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. There must be no filthiness, or silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What do those verses tell me as I'm looking at Jesus, the perfect role model, as I'm thinking about my own life as I'm living it right now? One of the things I see in those 5 verses is this: Christians are to be different by the way that they live their lives. The holiness of God, not the ugliness of our society, not the immorality of our culture, determines how the way that we live our lives. God's standard determines the way that we live our lives. In other words, you, young people, you be like Jesus. You refuse to let impurity or ungodliness reign in your lives. And not only for our young people, but for everyone. You be like Jesus. You refuse to let immorality reign in your body. You refuse to let impurity or greediness take over your life. Be like Jesus. Allow God to be your standard of morality. Allow God to be your standard of purity. Why is this so important? We'll look again at verse 5. "For you know with certainty that no immoral or an impure person or covetous man who's an idolater has an inheritance with the kingdom of Christ and God." Look at verses 8 through 10 here in the same text. Paul says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Note here what he says. This is imperative in nature. Paul says to the child of God, walk as children of light. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord in verse 10. And if you go back and look at verse 9, the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Again, let us get across the point that a quality of life that is living in the light is radically different from the life that is produced by not living according to the qualities of God and living in darkness. Living in the light is totally different from living in the darkness. Look again at this. We are to walk as children of light. Why? Because we are children of light. In other words, we must look like people who imitate God, who are striving to put on His qualities and His character, who are sensible about the way that we live our lives, who are mindful of the deeds that we do and the actions that we engage in, that everything that we do either leads people closer to God or farther away from Him. It is utterly shameful to look like those who do not follow God. How many Christians compromise their influence on a regular basis because they forget who they are? They forget that they're God's child. They get wrapped up in the influence of their friends and those around them. And before you know it, start spouting off at the mouth all kinds of obscenities. Start going and doing things with friends and going places that they should not be. And forget who they are. And then maybe sometimes there are Christians who try to straddle the fence and maybe try to hold on to some of the things of the old life while grabbing onto some of the things of the new and know what they're doing and live their lives as hypocrites. Could that be you? Could that be me? How are we living our lives? I tell you, there is nothing much more damaging than a hypocrite. Because it just gives people of the world an opportunity to scoff, to be turned off of religion. How many times have you heard people say, well, if they're like that, then what's the use of being a Christian? It's a sobering thing to think about our own lives and the way that we've lived them. Wonder how much damage I could have done if I've not been living up to the way I should have been. Think about that. That's why it is utterly shameful to be living and looking like those who do not imitate God. You live up to the standard. You be like Jesus. You follow Him and use Him as a role model. Just like Jesus, we've got to give careful attention to how we live our lives. Just as was the case in the first century of people who were living in evil times, so do we. So do we. In fact, I would say that as a culture here in America, things continue to deteriorate. And deteriorate to the point that it causes me personal fear for what kind of environment my children are going to have to live with when they grow up and move out of the house. That's a scary thought sometimes when you sit back and think about it. We live in an evil time. We live in a time when it is the easy thing to do just to turn our back on God and go and live as we please and do as we want. Yet we must be wise. Look at verse 15 here in Ephesians 5. Therefore be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Who said the Bible's not relevant in today's culture? That would tell me it's relevant right there. The days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
the things that are relevant, these things are relevant in every day and every age. Because I think today we face the same basic problems that man has always faced. Here's the last point of the lesson. It'll be yours. We're talking about Jesus being the perfect role model. Jesus was perfect. I'm not. And so sometimes we might wonder, well, how can me, little old me, someone who's not perfect, how can I ever match up to the standard that Jesus set? I've known people who have held off obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ before because they know or they fear that after they obey the gospel, become a Christian, that they're just going to fail again. And so the mentality is, well, I'm going to fail again, so what's the use? How can we ever match up? Well, I can tell you how we match up. It's real simple. The only reason, the only way that we will ever match up to the standard is through the grace of God. It's through God's grace. It's through His love and mercy. Now let me issue a disclaimer for a moment. Grace does not give us an excuse to slack off on our spiritual service. Right? I think we all understand that. It doesn't give us an excuse to be slackers. In other words, we find that we must keep on following Jesus. We must continually strive to do our best to conform our lives to His standard. Look with me, if you will, at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. He says here, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. How does one do that? Again, it's through the grace of God. Let us all understand that God wants us. He wants us despite the sin in our lives. Now, He doesn't want the sin. He doesn't approve of the sin. He doesn't want anything to do with sin. There's nothing in sin that He likes, but He wants us. He wants our hearts. And God is merciful in that He makes it possible for us to live and be like Him. If you look at 1 John, the first chapter, verses 5 through 10, we learn something here that is good for us to know. First of all, we find in this passage that God is light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. John says in this verse, this is the message which we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. As you continue reading through these verses, you might find that God wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to make truth the pattern of our conduct. And our entire life must be directed around walking in this light. God is light. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Someone says, well, Jesus is the perfect pattern, but I don't match up. I fail. I sin from time to time. What is there that I can do? Well, read a little further here in 1 John chapter 1. We find that God has provided a means of forgiveness. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. God has provided a means of forgiveness. We may not always live up to the standard, but when we fell short of the standard, God has given us the opportunity to seek His forgiveness. And the Bible tells us that if we seek His forgiveness, He will forgive us. You see, God wants each one of us to be something. And it is through His mercy that He has made it possible for us to be all that we can be through Him, despite our failures. And so I say this, let God shape your character into the character of Jesus. Let Jesus be your role model in this regard. And when you fall short, when you always don't live up to the standard, seek the forgiveness of God. Now, we come down to the most important part of our lesson this morning. I want each one of us to do this. I want you to ask yourself this. Is there enough evidence in my life right now that I am imitating Jesus Christ? Is there enough evidence in my life right now to prove that Jesus is my role model and I'm serving Him day by day and daily I am striving to be His disciple, to become more like Him? Can you say that with all honesty? Can you say what Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, where he says, imitate me as I also imitate Jesus Christ. Can you say that in your life right now? There's a need to examine ourselves. And I know self-examination is not always pleasant, but there's a need to do it because Paul says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves! That's what he says. Are you living up to the standard? Follow Jesus. He's the role model. We can think of good people in this life who are doing their best to serve God. Look to them for an example as well. Seek their wisdom. And daily work to grow closer to God. You're here this morning and not a Christian. And this is an invitation for you to start the journey in your life to becoming more like the Savior. We'd love to help you do that. Why don't you come forward this morning believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Him to be the Son of God, and then be baptized today, right now, for the remission of your sins. We'd love to help you do that. You can leave here getting started on a new life where that old man of sin has been done away with, where you make that commitment that day by day you're going to serve God to the best of your ability. Can we help you do that? Start that new commitment today. If you're already a Christian,
and you've not been living right, you've not been living up to the standard, then here's an opportunity for you to start afresh and seek the forgiveness of God. Turn over a new leaf, so to speak, and get going, serving Him. If we can be of any assistance to you this morning, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.
I am resolved, O Lord, to linger, charmed by the world's delight.